Psalms and Chapter 6 will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins, sometimes with black, white, and blurry.
He's also informed by the need to save costs, reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this impeachment, if Parliament does not raise this money,
and controversial.
If driving to the roads is a getting the macabre down, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
All right, welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. So join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo and Ayo Obe every once in 2 weeks in the Public Square, where she opens up with ideas. And always a pleasure to have Ayo in to talk about. And the timing of this is fantastic, of this ideas, because it culminates with the end of primaries for all the political parties, and then the long, well, not necessarily long, 7 days they will have to upload the names of the candidates who emerged victorious at the primaries. So we have some to talk about and ask questions about what those primaries have taught us or not taught us. I agree to have you in the square.
Into the Public Square.
Okay, I'm sure that you've also been fascinated by the way the primaries have turned out, and we've been talking offline, and now we're talking also too about the importance of ideas. Interestingly, this weekend is the Democracy Weekend also too, yeah. Because the 12th of June, which interestingly, you're a very active player also too in the aftermath with the CLO. We have to keep getting reminded.
It's now fading into the mists of history. actually, before I go to the issues, I should make a bit of a correction, because you remember that two weeks ago, we actually did have gentleman, Mr. Patrick Ikariale.
Yes.
And he would have been a delegate to his party's national convention, if not for the ruling and the order and the counter-ruling and so on that banned them. And when we were talking as though his party was to have only one delegate, only three delegates per state.
Mm.
But actually, it was three delegates per local government in each state.
Yes.
Because people who had listened to us 2 weeks ago would have been surprised at where did all these thousands of people come from. But actually, it was that there were three delegates for each local government in the federation, and that was how you came to have over 2,000 delegates. Although the delegates from one of the states, I believe, was prevented from participating by a court injunction. But I have indeed been fascinated. I think because a couple of weeks ago, I really just want my feeling was that just make it stop. Just let it all be over. But somehow, I think that I found after the PDP had come out, and they had those interesting figures, that showed how the delegates had voted. I think that my interest began to mount, and also I saw that, of course, the immediate big story in the run-up to the PDP primaries was the withdrawal of Peter Obi from the People's Democratic Party and moving into the Labour, declaring that he would be standing or he'd be an aspirant on the platform of the Labour Party, and then the other aspirants on that platform later stood down for him. And I found that I find it interesting that he was able to get that agreement of people to stand down,
right?
And because they too must have paid quite a handsome sum to be able to participate in that contest. And so that interest began to mount. And of course, until the APC had its primaries, he was the main story in town. And then, of course, the APC primaries, which I happened to be working from home that day. So I had it in the background. And I noticed again that just as in the PDP, that the actual process of the delegates casting their votes and the votes being counted was very, how do I put it? It was very transparent. You could see what, I mean, I know that there's been a piece circulating on social media where they found somebody counted from 69, 100. And that's been, and they've just taken that little clip. And this is where false information comes in, because if I hadn't been watching myself, I wouldn't have known that when they called the person up and said, you've got to go from, he then went back and started from one again and did it. But the narrative on social media had been, that this was, look how it went from 69 to 100. And mind you, those weren't even the votes being counted for Bola Tinubu.
No, they weren't.
Although they also had to go back and start from one with his own votes. So I think that generally I would say that the actual mechanical process of vote casting, it was a secret ballot and so on, and that was transparent, that you could see there was integrity, because in ideas we talk about integrity, democracy, ethics and accountability, and I think that there was integrity in that process. Where the questions arise are about the personal ethics and integrity of the participants, whether you are participating as a delegate or an aspirant. And I think that again, people like me who are on the outside, we hear so many stories. And those stories almost take on a life of their own. So you can't say. But what I notice is that if you are in party A and people step down, then you think that their stepping down is perfectly logical and normal. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're in party B or C, you say, all that stepping down, there's something fishy about that. And so I begin to ask myself, it reminds me of that story of it's a long story, I won't go into it. But you begin to ask yourself, are we saying that there's no room in Nigerian politics for people to do things simply because they think it's the right thing? Are we saying that there's no room in Nigerian politics for people, for delegates even, to vote for a candidate because they think that delegate, that candidate, or that aspirant, sorry, is the right aspirant for their party? I think that, that to me, those are some of the issues. And then lastly, if I think about ideas issues, I would say that when it comes to accountability, we, because we've seen the aspirants making speeches before they were elected. And what in their speeches do we take away as what they are going to actually do for the electorate if they come to power? Does what they offered as their, manifesto for being the candidate, is that going to translate into an actual manifesto for the party? Let's not forget that when President Buhari came to power and he was confronted with his party's manifesto, he behaved as though it was a very strange and unknown document to him. And so that when people now try to hold him accountable for the promises or the policies that were outlined in that manifesto, it was as if he would say, nothing to do with me, Gov. don't hold me accountable for what I promised and on which basis you may have voted me into power. And I think that if we want as voters to be able to hold people accountable, we need to get into, we need not to allow such things to go unremarked. We need, we are still very much voting on the basis of identity, ethnicity, religion, age, experience and so on. But we also need to be able to say...
Question of what of the methods had the most... It was the most integrity credential.
Yeah.
Direct, indirect consensus.
Well, I'm unfortunately, Aho, you may know better than I, but I didn't see any party that held direct primaries this time around. But we certainly know that when the All Progressives Congress held direct primaries in the run-up to the 2019 election, the figures that emerged from those direct primaries had no scintilla of integrity about them. I mean, 2 million votes being cast in Lagos and 2 million plus in Kano, and all such fantastic figures that were just plucked from the air and which bore no resemblance to the votes that were cast in the actual election. And so I think that, and of course the primary election, I always cite the example of the Lagos state primary, it was very hotly contested.
Yes.
And yet only half the votes in that hotly contested gubernatorial primary election were cast, compared to what was said to have been cast, declared for the president who was standing unopposed.
Yes.
So the direct primaries were not tested this time, but they don't necessarily have a lot of integrity. Now, as I said, with regard to the indirect primaries, the integrity is there on the day of the election, you know. But what happens beforehand and what happens after? Because if we're talking about delegates being induced, do they get something before? Do they get something after? When we, what we see is very transparent and open. But what we don't see, we can't say. And unfortunately, as I said, if you're not in it, you will hardly know what is going on. You will just be swallowing all the stories and tales. And I mean, I don't want to call them horror stories, because if you are on the receiving end, you may not consider it a horror story.
Yes.
But for those of us who are not delegates being given money for to cover our quote and unquote expenses or other inconveniences, we never talk about bribes. And it was a question that I was asking Patrick, Honorable Patrick, last time.
Yes.
Is it that, are we really saying that once somebody is ready to pay you, that is where you will vote? Or is it that you basically are going to vote in this way anyway, and then you just say, but you should, you know, you should at least compensate me for the fact that I'm going to vote for you? So and as I said, we don't know, but I've seen situations where there's been talk of delegates not necessarily getting money up front, but at some point there'll be a contract, there'll be something else, and you know, it will you will not feel unrewarded for the way you voted. Now, but as I said, if your party is one of those that expects to, that it really thinks it's in with thing, you know, because in the end, if you vote for somebody who is not going to be able to carry your party standard and lead you to a serious semblance of victory, or at least provide the coattails that your other candidates down the line can ride to victory on, then you're really cutting off your nose to spite your face. Or basically, as the saying goes, selling your birthright for a mess of pottage. Because whatever you think you would gain on a temporary basis, you would not get it. So I think that we should allow that the delegates... I don't discount the influence of money in the choices of the delegates, but I think we should also allow that they're not stupid. Now, with regard to some of the smaller parties, it's possible, and I know that I was trying to read between the lines of Professor Kingsley Moralu's tweet when he said he salutes some of the party members, and it was very clear, because there had been all sorts of rumors. And I think that when you're in a party that doesn't have a realistic expectation of forming a government, then you as a delegate, you don't have as much to lose if you just sell your vote you think you don't have as much to lose, I should say. But I think that in the long run, you will discover that if you want your party to become relevant in the scheme of Nigerian politics, selling your vote, even if you think that you're not going to win the presidency immediately, is still a very short-sighted way to approach things, and that actually your lack of integrity will again come back to bite you in the behind, because it means that you will be perpetually condemned to political irrelevance in Nigeria. So I would still say that different parties, but you know, we talked about delegates. I should also say that some came through because everybody stepped down. Again, as I said, that if you're on the outside, you would say that those people stepping down. But if everybody steps down and you then don't even have to go through a vote, then you have really succeeded very well. And I personally have no reason to believe, for example, if I look at the Labour Party, there's no reason for me to believe that it's because of threats or money that people would stand down for people. They obviously recognize that a big vote getter has entered the party. It's stupid for us to, I mean, they might want to give him the honor of going through an election so that the magnitude of his victory can be more. But generally, it would be silly to say that that there was only one reason why they stood down. And even in the parallel parties, because that the party that Mr. Obi joined is a factionalized party. And we've already seen one of the candidates who emerged from another of the factions has withdrawn his candidacy. Now, whether his party is going to accept that and not try to substitute somebody else, or whether they're going to try and come together and resolve their differences, even without waiting for the courts to resolve the issues, I would say it will be that again, it is people stepping down. And we don't have to say that it's because of money or threats. And then there are some who, you know, I mean, if I look at the AAC, you would say that Omoyole Sowore he's the raison d'être for the party.
Absolutely.
And you know, with these with the political parties, we see that some people have chosen to remain in their existing parties and try to grow them. And others have decided to join what they would see as the main parties and try to come through in that way. And I think that what we've seen is that the delegates, because it's not just delegates at the presidential level, although that's where most of what we see is, but that the delegates, even at those levels, are not necessarily... how do I put it? I mean, to me, there are some candidates who are obvious vote getters. And particularly when we look at the situation where out of the even the existing registered voters before this latest surge of people getting their PVCs, even out of that surge, we had not seen up to half the people in Nigeria voting. So if you have somebody who can bring in
the vote,
people who are not invested in this, in the process, who have not been voting, you know, you can certainly, you might achieve a lot more. But I think that some of our parties, they're still stuck with the, oh no, we'll go with the existing. And it's been said by many who have observed these matters in civil society that it actually, you know, they actually don't want a lot of people to come out and vote. So I don't know, Ago. I feel I've gone past my time. The only other thing that I wanted to say was that I appreciate, that the narrative of people buying and selling votes, particularly at the when it comes to the indirect primaries, is a very prevalent one. But I think it's important for us not to just assume, because people say it, that that's the only thing. Because in a way, I think that if we continue with that, we make it, we're normalizing it. And we're making it such that people are not ashamed to do it. And in the end, it becomes the defining feature of our politics. And I think that this is where the EFCC, by parading openly in venues where obviously nothing was happening, rather than doing some undercover or covert observation, before, after, and watching people's bank accounts and so on. Mm-hmm. That is where they should find whether money is changing hands or not, rather than this, oh, we are here looking for who is... It doesn't fool anybody. Absolutely. And it almost makes a mockery of it, mm-hmm. because I think that if indeed half of these stories are true, perhaps bringing some of those involved to book would actually make would make it less of a normal thing, right. and something that people would recognize as a thing that they need to hide and to get rid of, mm-hmm. and to eradicate from our politics if we want that integrity, yeah. and as I say, personal ethics, exactly. that we want. I mean, I don't think that Pastor Tunde Bakare saying that, well, he didn't bribe anybody and he's happy with that. Because I think that what he's saying is that once you don't bribe, you can't get votes. And I think that he would have tried a lot more to speak to delegates and get them to vote for him. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just one or two, to say that, yes, I believe in what you are selling. But to just say that... Once I don't bribe, I don't get votes. I think that that again tends to normalize the situation that ought to be abnormal, and right. we should try to eradicate it Absolutely. From our polity.
Since that's what will decide the people who will be on the ballot on the election day. Yeah. Thank you very much, Ayo.
Thank you so much.
Ideas and. And the square is open now. Ruthie comes in next. We talk about all of those 16 or 15 candidates who have now emerged. And we'll see where it takes us from. All right. Happy Democracy Day, Ayo.
I wish you the same, and to all the listeners as well. Remember, democracy is about you. Yeah. It's not about just the people that you vote for. Uh-huh. It's about you and your own freedoms and your own right to have a say.
Absolutely. We're going on a quick break. We come back and Public Square will continue when Ruthie Sankore comes into the square.